The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
And welcome to another episode of The Crossman Conversation. Before we get started with our conversation, I've got a quick story, and that is this. My dad was a Methodist minister, and he was a civil rights leader and really an amazing person. But, you know, when you're growing up, you don't have that perspective at all. You know, you just think your dad's kind of a goof or whatever. And so people used to go to my dad for counseling, and I just thought they were losers. I used to always see these people going and seeing my dad for advice. First, I'd be like thinking, well, just figure it out. And then I would always think, why would you ask my dad for advice, you know? And so when I went through got into my adult life and I started having some real issues in my life, I just always was like, counseling's for losers, you kind of thing. And so in 2004, I went through a very rough season. My dad passed away. I had a serious back injury. My second daughter had a severe health issue when she was a newborn. We almost lost her. She's fine now. She's 16. She's fine now. But we were really scared about that. And so my wife was like, you should go to counseling. And I had this whole thing in my head, like, well, that's for losers, you know? And so my wife was like, you're angry all the time. And I was like, well, you know, my dad died, my back hurts, my kid almost died, and we had damaged our house in the hurricane. So finally, she really strongly encouraged me, and I went to counseling, and counseling really fundamentally has changed my life and made it so much better. I live life with a capital L now, not for loser, I hope, but for a life. Because of counseling. So I'm so excited today because I have a real therapist, a real counselor here with us, and that's Shirley McCullough. And so you're here, and thank you for being here.
Thank you, John, for having me today. I'm excited about being here.
Well, my first question, so you are a marriage counselor, a therapist.
Yes.
That's what you do occupationally.
This is what I do every day.
Every day. You yes. listen to people like me.
Yes.
Okay. Am I a loser because I went to counseling?
Not at all, John. And you know, just thinking about that when you were just telling your story, there are so many people that feel that same way about counseling, you know, or going to therapy or going to talk to someone about their problems. Because mm-hmm. most people feel like, well, that's just another person. I mean, what can they tell me? The difference is with a therapist or a counselor, we're trained to listen to certain things and to give you interventions to help give you hope through rough times, you know. And then when we think about mental health, John, most people think about a diagnosis. They don't think about mental health concerns, you know. And when we think about mental health, I just want to challenge your listeners to think about mental health from a perspective of a spectrum. On the lower end of that spectrum is mental health concerns. On the severe end of that spectrum, it's more of the mental health diagnosis. And there's this dichotomy, John, that a lot of people have where if I don't have a mental health diagnosis, I am not mentally ill. And that's not true, John, because we have things like what you mentioned in your story, things like anger. Think of those things around mental health concerns, anger, frustration, irritability, insomnia, you know, rumination, just thinking about things and can't really solve them. Those things can lead to mental health diagnosis. And those are some of the things that are indicators that we do need some help, you know, to work through those things.
I guess, you know, it's funny. One way I think about it is, I saw a stat one day that said, if you play in the NFL, there's 100% chance you're going to get injured, right? You might just miss one play and one practice, but you're going to get injured. And I was thinking about it, like, would you ever go play for an NFL team if they said, hey, we're a great team. You know, we're the Patriots or the Cowboys or, you know, whatever, some great team. Dolphins, in my case.
Yeah.
Used to be. if they said, hey, we're a great team, but we have no medical staff. Right? That's crazy. You wouldn't do that.
Right.
But I think a lot of times in our society, we live that way when it comes to mental health.
Right.
You know, and so, and I think that's how I felt. It's like my dad died and I just thought, oh, okay, well, I live in America and I'm a Christian and I'm blessed.
Right.
I had no space to step into that. Right.
Right. Right.
Honestly, Charlotte, I used to, when I would have a counseling session, I would just write on my calendar. I'm not kidding you. I would write in meeting. And so if somebody looked at my calendar, they'd be right. like, oh, he's in a meeting.
Right. Which
because
is true.
It's true. But I was too scared to let people know
right.
That I was doing that.
Well, John, there is this stigma that goes along with counseling as if you are a loser or you do have some serious issues. A lot of people are shame. It comes with some level of shame. And I think interviews like this help normalize that conversation around taking care of yourself mentally. You know, just like the example you gave, if we had something going on physical, we would go to our medical doctor, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing with our mental health. But I think what's challenging for us is because we can't see it. We can feel it, but we can hide it more than we can physical things that go mm-hmm. on with us. And a lot of us really pride ourselves on being strategists and being able to solve things. Mm. But when it comes to our mental health, there are some things we just can't figure out. And as you spoke about earlier, grief. Grief is one of those traumatizing things that some of us, we just can't wrap our minds around that. We just don't come to that place of resolve mm-hmm. when it's around grief, especially when it's someone close to us in our inner circle. That's hard. Grief is hard.
It's very hard. And it's a process.
It's
not like flipping
process.
A switch. You know, it's right. like it takes time. You know, it's funny. When I was first seeing this counselor during this season, she started teasing me, and I didn't understand the joke. She would say, "How are you doing?" And I would say, "I'm good." And she'd go, "Are you really good? Are you good?"
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't get it. I kid you not, I could pull it out of my wallet right now. I carry a list of feelings on a
Perfect.
Card in my wallet because sometimes when I'm talking to someone and I could tell they're struggling to identify what they're feeling.
I love it.
I'll just show them that list, and so it helps give context. I had to learn to say, I'm exhausted.
Yes.
Right? Or I feel overwhelmed.
Right.
Charlotte, I had no context. I think that's what I thought I was supposed to say was
right.
good or blessed.
Right.
But I had no other words to use.
But when you think about that, and it's really good that your therapist really challenged you to talk about your emotions. Mm. It's a part of your mental health. When we think about mental health, it's emotions, thoughts, and behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good that she's teaching you or have taught you, and then you're spreading that word as well, teaching people to really drop down into their bodies. And really, how are you doing? What are you feeling in this moment? Versus we all are good. You know,
right,
your eyes
right.
are open and you're talking, you're good. But
right.
if you think about it, John, we all have been taught that. We all have been taught to just brush over it. I'm good. Everything is fine.
Well, you know, it's funny is that so when you were talking about the spectrum, I find it really fascinating because when we're talking about mental health, that doesn't mean mental illness.
Right.
Right. If I'm practicing good mental health, it doesn't mean I'm a sociopath or
Absolutely.
You know, something. And so like somebody might say, I look at our producer here, Mike. You
yes.
know, Mike's perfect. He doesn't have any problems. But if Mike was going through a rough time, we might say, "Hey, Mike, why don't you, get a massage or go on a nice walk,
right?
Right? Or maybe go to the beach or spend some time with his family." But we also might say is like, "Hey, Mike, if you got a lot going on, maybe just schedule a session with Charlotte."
Right.
And it may be he just can sit down and you just calmly say,
"Talk through it.
Yeah, how are you feeling?" And he might the act of just talking out what he's feeling might make him healthier.
Right. There's a lot of power in talk therapy, talking through things. You know, sometimes when things are rattling in our heads and we have no one to give us any feedback, we go with the first thing that we hear.
Right.
You know, what we feel comfortable with. But when you have someone to have that dialogue with you and question you to make you dig deeper, it helps you see things from a different perspective.
Right.
Absolutely. And a lot of times in therapy, you come up with your own solutions. Just
right.
being able to talk through it and the different interventions that we use and different modalities that we use, you come up with that yourself. That's what therapy is really about. You know, John, it's really about insight, transformation, and change.
And so I guess there's situations where somebody doesn't want to say something because all of a sudden they don't want to bring light to it. But when they do say it, it then releases it.
Right.
Right. So like somebody might say, "Hey, I never want to talk about that experience as a child where I experienced sexual trauma or I felt intense fear." And they just don't want to deal with it. But once they do, and if they're able to sit down with you and say, "Gosh, I had this thing happen and I felt so scared," the reality is they may walk out of that feeling less scared.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we really go through it. And in therapy, we go at your speed. mm-hmm. when you're ready to talk about those things. And we have different ways that we talk to you about it and have you mention things that you've probably never thought you would talk about. But in therapy, it's that sacred, confidential space where you can be you. Yeah, and be able to talk about things that you can't talk about with the world.
Right.
That's what makes it so special to me, because there are things you can just dump there, leave there, and
And sometimes it's not about coming to a great solution in that moment. It's just process. even just processing, and it's part of a journey.
Absolutely.
And like you say, like whether it's grief or loss of a loved one, but another grief as I get older, I have friends that are older. You kind of lose some parts of your life. Sometimes as you get older, I was a sprinter in college. I ran the FAMU relays as part of FSU's track team. But when you get older in your 30s, you can't sprint anymore.
40s, you're right, John. Yeah. It's a lot of things.
Right. And so you just experience a loss. And so sometimes we can just sort of shove that deep down inside. I don't know if you ever saw the cinematic gem, Ricky Bobby, The Tale of Talladega Nights. I'm not sure if you're a big Ricky Bobby fan. but there's a scene in that movie, Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly play these goofy NASCAR drivers. But the whole setup is Will Ferrell's character always finishes in first place. And John C. Reilly's character, Cal, and whatever the guy's name is, Ricky Bobby and Cal. Cal always finishes in second place. So Cal says to Ricky Bobby one day, they're at a bar. He says, "Hey, do you think someday I could finish in first place?" And Ricky Bobby looks at him. He goes, "Nope." He goes, "Take that like a pill and just swallow it and shove it deep down inside of you." And, of course, the rest of the movie is Cal then has an affair with Ricky Bobby's wife and all this crazy stuff. But I love that visual. I think that's what a lot of us do in our society. We take something that's so real and painful and we shove it deep down. But guess what? It comes back up, doesn't
it?
It's
true. Absolutely. Definitely, it comes back up. And you know what, John? It brings me to this thought. All of us do our best known solutions. What are our best known solutions to make us feel better?
Yeah.
That's what we do. That's how we self-soothe.
Right.
What are our best known solutions, you know?
And that's
some of that is shoving it down.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Well, we're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
But you're awesome. It's so great to have Charlotte here as a counselor.
Here.
So cool. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.
The Central Florida Urban League has a mission to end generational poverty. For our youth, we offer one-on-one mentoring, crime prevention skills, and after-school homework. For adults, we are proud to offer a Microsoft Office Specialist Certification course, Registered Behavioral Technician Certification, as well as Entrepreneurship and Small Business Certification. For more information on our programs, please call us at 407-841-7654 or visit our website at cful.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
We're back with a Crossman Conversation, and today's conversation is with my friend, Charlotte McCullough, who is a therapist, a counselor, superhero extraordinaire. She's helping people deal with their feelings, and that's what we're talking about today. So thank you again for being here, Charlotte.
Thank you, John, for having me here.
I want to go a little bit further, and there's a couple things I want to hit on. One was going a little further with feelings. And it's interesting, one of our other guests, John Martinez, was on here, and he talked about the Bible study or group study. It's called Voice of the Heart. Mm-hmm. And when I did that with him, he was leading it. I think this thing was on sadness, and it was like, what is sadness? And he said, write the 10 saddest things you'd ever experienced in your life. Charlotte, I kid you not, I couldn't write any. I was like, I don't know that I know what sad is. I don't know what sad is. And I actually went to a therapist, and I said, I don't know what sad is. And so I had to like relearn that. And like a lot of men, I hadn't cried since I was like 10. I just like shut that off,
Absolutely.
Just like shut it off. And
there's just a negative stigma with crying.
Yeah, and so I just I'm not doing that anymore. And so I had to relearn how to cry and this kind of things. So one of the things was when I went through that was, I'm a Christian, and so in Scripture, I had my eyes open to all kinds of Scripture where feelings are talked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I just had missed that, in the Psalms and things like that. But one of the things was, is that after going through that whole season, I got asked to speak at a funeral where a friend of mine had passed. And, as a runner, I always wanted to control my body. I never wanted to run and then throw up. And so as a speaker, I always wanted to control my body. Like,
absolutely.
I don't cry when I speak or anything. But when I spoke at that funeral, the pastor opened up and he talked about it's a celebration. He's in a better place. And I went up and I said, oh, that's true. I said, but not but, but and, mm-hmm. I said, when Jesus learned that one of his closest friends passed, what happened? Jesus wept. Right?
Right.
And so I said, if Jesus can weep, so can I. And I cried through that whole speech, and it was really amazing because I felt so intimate mm-hmm. with the family. It's like our
closeness.
Closeness. Mm-hmm. And that blew my mind. Like that whole season of connecting and learning that skill set from a therapist.
Yes.
It just onboarded a whole new set of tools for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, John, that's a really good point because a lot of times men in particular, right, they're taught to be strong. They're taught to be emotionalist. And when you're talking about high functioning men, high powerful men, that's how you become successful, mm-hmm. right? Being able to shut those emotions off and really move forward and make these decisions at the drop of a dime, right?
Right.
But when it comes to relationships with people,
mm-hmm.
you know, how do you turn that back on? And that example that you gave is a really good example of being able to dial back in. And I think today we have so many people who are emotionalist, but you don't know it until you're challenged with
right.
that. And some of those challenges really is, what are you feeling? Like we said earlier, you know, what are your true feelings? And sadness is one you need to be familiar with and be okay with saying, I feel sad,
yeah.
you know, or I want to cry. A good cry, it's a really good intervention. You can feel a lot better after a good cry. And like you said, you felt closer to the family. Yeah,
you know, it's so funny. I've been watching The Chosen. I don't know if you've seen The Chosen.
Yes.
Mike and I have talked about The Chosen. I cry almost every episode.
Yeah.
I mean, in that episode one, I can't even think about it. I'll start crying right now with him and Jesus and Mary
yes.
Magdalene. I'm like, well,
yes.
But I cry and then I acknowledge that I do, you know.
Yeah.
I also want to say to you this, that this has blown my mind. Like, so my counseling journey began really in the context of my marriage and my mm-hmm. wife saying, you know, we're not communicating because you're angry. And so I could say
right.
it's sort of a marriage counseling. But, you know, what's funny is it's made me a lot better dad.
Wow.
And I've done counseling sessions with my daughters. One of my one of my daughters was funny. She wanted me to go to a counseling session, and she ended up saying that she didn't like it when she was worried about me. And she'd say, "Dad, I'm worried about you." And I'm like, "Oh, I'm doing great. I'm Superman." I had to learn through counseling that if I said to her, "You know what? I had a hard day, but I called my friend Mike and I told him about my feelings, and now I feel better." That saying that was far more encouraging to her than just saying, I'm doing great.
Yeah. Because it lets her know, too, that you care about your feelings, that you are acknowledging them, and you're doing something about it. That gives her that peace, that sense, because she cares about you. And she wants to know that you are doing okay. But when you say, oh, I'm fine, it kind of comes across as dismissive.
Mm. Yeah. I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah.
And so that was a big deal. So here's the other one. It made me better at my job.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Because you can connect with people. You can literally connect with the person, not the performance.
I was having a major issue with someone at work, and they were being a total jerk, and they were.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
I believe it.
But I believe it. But I was overreacting because of my pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I was able to deal with my pain, a counselor, I still had the issue with this, you know, person.
Right.
But I was able to work it out in a calm way, right?
Right.
And it's like Mike and I were just emailing the other day about the, and I was being critical of myself. I think Mike was worried I was being too critical or whatever. But again, because I'm better checked emotionally, Mike and I can be critical. He can be critical of me or he can be critical of the show. And we can have a healthy conversation
right.
in a healthier space because I'm healthier. So therapy made me better at my work. I didn't see that coming.
Absolutely. I think, honestly, John, what it makes you better at, too, is the ability to tolerate differences and not internalize everything that comes your way
mm-hmm.
that you don't agree with. Sometimes when we're working through pain, working through trauma,
mm-hmm.
when things come our way, we internalize it or we become very defensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see that. And, you know, the thing I would add on top of that, one last thing I want to make sure we hit on, because this is a biggie for me, is psychiatry,
mm-hmm.
right? Psychology versus psychiatry. And, you know, people don't know your psychiatry, that you see a psychiatrist, that's a medical doctor,
right.
you're getting meds.
Absolutely.
Whereas psychology therapy, we're talking about the feelings and process.
Right.
So I ran a half marathon years ago. I came across the finish line. I did not feel good. I almost just like went right to the ambulance that was there. I waited 2 days. I went to my doctor and I got diagnosed with clinical depression. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up being on Klonopin and Zoloft, really more Zoloft than Klonopin, for a year.
Okay.
And, you know, so seeing my psychiatrist and seeing my medical doctor, by the way, I always tell people, get an annual checkup. That was really helpful to me. But if I'd seen
Absolutely.
Just a psychiatrist and not in combination with my psychologist,
right?
Not both. I needed both. So I was able to go off my meds eventually, mm-hmm. and I'm grateful I was on them. But that combination was really important. So can you
Absolutely.
Just walk us through that, the combination of psychiatry,
yes.
psychology, how's
so
that come together?
There's a lot of people, and that's a good point, John. There's a lot of people that feel that they don't need medication. And one of the reasons why we do encourage medications in some situations is because sometimes for depression, for an example, your mood is so low, the talk therapy wouldn't help you because you don't have the ability to grab those tools and use them, or the ability to know this is time, the time that I need to activate my tools. So what the medication does is bring your mood up so that the talk therapy can be beneficial for you and helpful. And then eventually sometimes you can go away from the medication because you have the talk therapy and you're able to do that. So the two working together, it's very helpful. I totally agree with that.
You can't really have one without the other.
Right.
And so you must have like situations where you think, oh, this person doesn't need any meds. They just whatever. But I will tell you, when I've had all kinds of broken bones and mm-hmm. surgeries and all kinds of crazy things, nothing was my closest experience to hell on earth than going through that clinical depression. I was non-functioning mm-hmm. for a period of time. And so, some people need to be on meds their whole lives.
That's right.
My dad was. I have members of my family have done that.
Right.
There's no shame in that. I wanted to be off just because I'd rather not
right.
be have another chemical in my
but
body.
But you stayed with therapy, though.
But I stayed with it, mm-hmm. and I didn't come off until both my psychiatrist and psychologist, you know, agreed right. with that, and also went off slowly.
Right.
Like the ramp therapy. Up and ramp down. Mm-hmm. That's a big deal.
Absolutely.
I tell you, the thing funny is that doing different kinds of therapy, I feel like it's given me tools.
Yes.
And then I don't go as much now
right.
Because I feel like I'm good friends, but that helped me.
And you're managing well.
Managing well.
Yes, yes.
But just like my NFL thing, like I have access to counselors
yes.
because something will happen and then I know that I have somebody I can go talk to.
Right.
You know?
So and that's real life.
That's real life.
That's real life, John.
It's biblical, too. Yes. I mean, it's like we need people.
It's just like on the medical side, right? There are no cure for some things, like high blood pressure. There are a number of things we can talk about that there's no medical cure. And when there's no cure, the next step is management.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, like when we talk about mental health, I like to give that message. It's about managing your mental health. You know, it's about managing it. It's not so much of, oh, I'll never experience this again, because we have triggers. When we get triggered around things that have caused trauma for us, it can bring back those old feelings, you know, and we can start performing or behaving like our old selves. So we're learning to manage it, right? Mm. It's not so much a destination, but we're learning to manage it. And the example that you just gave, what you're doing, John, is managing your mental health. Absolutely.
That's awesome. So you're here and you're giving us a great example. I'm not a loser.
No,
thank you.
Not
I mean,
at all.
I may be in other areas, but not because I'm seeing a therapist. But we're promoting this. So
yes.
So to our listeners, they may be local, they may be all over the country.
Yes.
If they were like, oh my gosh, I hear that. I think I do need to go talk to somebody. How do they find a therapist?
So there's this website that I love a lot that I give to people a lot. It's called psychologytoday.com. Mm. You can go there, put your zip code in there, and it'll bring up all the therapists that's in your area. It's real easy to navigate. You can put different things that you want. If you want a male therapist, if you want a female therapist, all those things is right there. Very easy for you to get to.
Okay. And how yes. about you? If someone to get a hold of you?
So you can get a hold of me. My website is www.SherletteMcCullough.com. You can also reach me on Facebook, SherletteMcCullough.com, Instagram, Sherlette_McCullough. And my phone number is 407-230-4582.
And when we put this out, then we'll connect. We'll put all your stuff out there with me, you, everybody. They find
Perfect.
Me. They can find you.
Yes.
So we'll do that. The last thing I want to make sure I mention, you went to Bethune-Cookman
yes!
University.
Wildcat. Hail Wildcats. Yes.
Well, we are Wildcat fans here for sure. I'm a trustee at Bethune-Cookman University.
And John, so I love it. See, I know I love you, John. I knew it.
So thank you for being just a great alum and representing the university so well. And thank you for being a part of the Crossman Conversation today. And thank you to our listeners for listening in. And as always, support your local HBCU, especially if that's Bethune-Cookman University.
University.
All right.
BCU.
Thank you. Sherlette, thanks so much.
Thank you, John, very much.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.